there's one other piece that I want to talk about this morning. And so here's one that someone said that their relationship with God is composed of knowing that God listens and acts on prayer requests. Isn't it a wonderful blessing to know that? But not everyone has that sense that God answers. That was one of the comments. Someone else said, when I know Jesus Christ, I need to change my lifestyle. So there's this impact of someone's recognizing that change comes with a relationship with Christ. Let's see. I spend time in devotions in the morning, but I need to know God more and have a deeper relationship. So there's also this sense of need. Our relationship with God, it's going somewhere, but I really want to go deeper. Another person says, very intimate and strong, but resembling a dysfunctional family. Does your relationship with God look like a dysfunctional family? Where you're both encouraged, and I'm not picking on this person, I just thought that was a fascinating honesty, that sometimes my relationship with God has been kind of a dysfunctional relationship. And it could be better. So many of us could resonate with that sentiment. And in fact, all of us can resonate with that. I trust him. He is faithful to me. I truly love him. Someone else comments on the sporadic nature of their prayer time. And that is also often a reality of life. God loves me and forgives me for my foolish ways. So true. Everything I have in my life comes from God's hand. My relationship with God is growing stronger based on meaningful time seeking to share. He's my Savior, my friend, my guide, and Father. I look to God for guidance, comfort, answers to life's challenges. Growing, but still not what it should be. A journey that is sometimes closer, right now farther. I am in awe of his compassion and mercy toward me. One with him, I feel that my day always goes better. Not intimate, this is another one, not intimate, but always hopeful. Another one says, trying to grow after backsliding. Someone else said, without God, my life would be void and incomplete. I can't read all of these, so I'm skimming through them, obviously. This relationship is the source of hope and joy and peace. God has taught me that he loves me and saves me, and I trust and love him and serve him. Another one, I am uncertain, angry with him, although I know he knows what's best. I know he's real and works in my life, although I could be closer. I see God in myself and in everything I undertake. I don't feel I'm getting through. Jesus loves me still. Wonderful relationship. Even though I have let him down several times, I thank him for his love. So you get a sense of there's about 82 or so responses to that question. So you can see that you may feel like in your walk with Christ, there's nobody in this congregation, nobody around me who has this experience that I do. But you can be assured that for those of you who have a rich experience with God, there's someone else that shares in that. You may not know their name or their face, but there's someone else that shares in that kind of experience. You may feel like you're the one not getting through. You can be sure that there's someone else who's wrestling with that or who has wrestled with that. And so when you're struggling in your Christian life or feeling rewarded, lift up your brothers and sisters in prayer who may or may not share the same thing, and that God would encourage them and sustain them. Well, I want to bring up one of the most common pieces that came up as I was going through in the responses. This area of two changes, two positive changes you could make in your life. The most common two changes that were coupled with the most common hindrance or hindrances was time. Time with God, more time in prayer, more Bible study. That was the most common response. It seems like time, and someone mentioned specifically, they said, in this country, based on the work schedules in this country. So clearly they had a better experience somewhere else, but it's true. America, and I can't speak for Africa because I didn't live there, or I can't speak for any other country. I've been a couple of places that the schedules are less hectic, but in different ways. So I want to find out this morning, well, let me introduce that with something a little bit different. I am more hectic in my life right now, and my wife and kids, than I have been in my time here. And some of you know that I'm doing a chaplaincy program at the hospital. And I'll tell you a little bit about that before I get back to the question. And the chaplaincy program is called Clinical Pastoral Education. And it is, for me, a continuing education process of expanding my tool set as a pastor. But I've discovered since going in that the program demands are more than I anticipated. I have 16 hours at the hospital a week, and out of the, I don't know how many weeks, the program is like 17 weeks long, and 15 of those weeks are a night shift. At 4:30 to 10, about 10 o'clock. So it's about 4:45 to 10 o'clock the next morning. That's a night shift. That's what I did. I went in Wednesday and I went in Thursday night and got out Friday yesterday morning. I got home at about 10:30. So a couple of things I've learned from that. Number one, that life is really busy when your schedule is not flexible. I have a busy pastoral life, but it was an eye-opener to me how challenging it can be when you don't have a flexible schedule. And that was something that I know you deal with on a more regular basis. Those of you who are employed or have school, you can't pick your class schedules. And so that was, for me, that was a challenge because I talked to you about regularity, about faithfulness. And then it kind of forced me to realize that sometimes I don't recognize how challenging your circumstances may be. And so I know that being in an inflexible schedule does present challenges that are unique to your setting. So I'm going to open the floor this morning in just a few minutes because I want to hear from you. Some of you are finding time in a very busy life for the Lord. Others are struggling to find that time. And I think if we can talk together for just a few minutes, we might be able to share some things together with each other that will help encourage and provide some solutions from those who are in a challenging work environment, schedule environment, to those who share the same thing but will find encouragement from what others do. The second thing I learned is that my life is rather insulated. Most of my visits are pastorally focused, so when I do encounter someone on the outside, it's generally pastorally centered. When I'm in the CPE program, I'm working in a little different environment, so I'm encountering an environment more like the environment you're in, still religious, but not as much centered around my work as a pastor, as an Adventist pastor. And so that helped me to understand a little bit more the challenges that you face in your workplace of witnessing. So maybe I'll take that up sometime when I'm learning from this. But I understand, so much prayer and much patience. I do have a little bit more understanding with you now that I've been through the process. I haven't been through it, actually, I'm going through it. The last thing I want you to know about CPE is, while it is chaplaincy focused for being a hospital chaplain or prison chaplain or state police chaplain or whatever it might be, and I went in thinking more about expanding my abilities and working with in hospital visits and things, but the truth is that there will be more impact to my ministry in this congregation than there will be in my work at hospitals, because chaplaincy, I'm discovering, the chaplaincy program, I'm discovering more than anything is about personal change. It's about how my life and what's going on in my life affects my interactions with those around me. So you will be experiencing less of me for the next few months till May, mid-May, because I'm going through this. but you will experience changes that God's working in my life through the program. So there is a give and take here that is exciting for me because I'm growing and it's only the beginning of February. So I'm excited that even though there's definite drain on my time and a definite impact to my flexibility here, and my wife's nodding in agreement because yes, it's a definite drain on our family too. But the impact is already showing in my personal life, and so I'm hoping that it shows in my relationships with each of you. In fact, I know that it will at some point show in my interactions with you. So it's good stuff, and that's what's sort of coming out of CPE. So I want testimony this morning, not so much testimony, but what do you do with your busy schedule? Some of you have very hectic study schedules and class schedules, those going to school. Others have hectic class schedules and hectic work schedules because you're doing both. And some of you have a hectic work schedule. Anybody brave enough to tell what you do that is helpful and how you fit in this inflexible schedule? How do you fit into that something so important as your walk with God?
Unlike a lot right now, my schedule is not hectic. It's not terrible, but having worked 60 to 80 hours a week for many, many years, more than 20, I know how difficult it is to fit that time in. But Brent's schedule is pretty hectic. So because he drives 1 hour in and 1 hour out of town, almost every morning he will call me a few minutes out of the driveway and on phone with an earpiece, both of us will interact over worship. We're reading through the Desire of Ages in the morning and Patriarchs and Prophets at night. And what a blessing. It's ideal to be able to sit down and have that time set apart, but when you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and you drive until 6 or 7 in the morning, and you put in a very long day, you know what I'm talking about. It's just really difficult, but I know you can work it in if you press to work it in, if it is your whole heart's desire. I mean, even bathroom time books are handy. I mean, I'm just saying, a minute on the porch, but even while you're driving, while I'm driving, I'm thinking with the Lord. It's a way to get it in if your heart is into spending a moment with him.
Thank you. Hey, that's great. So there's over the phone with spouse. That's very good. Thank you. Okay, Veronica.
I actually want to share an experience that I think reflects this point because it's something that I've been thinking about personally. The thought that frequently goes through my mind as it relates to just my schedule, especially when I'm trying to add something to it, is personally, I just really, really, really believe that there's a tendency to make time for that which is a priority.
Okay.
Some way, somehow, we find ways to make time for what's a priority to us. But in relationship to that, a few weeks ago, you know, we have a depression recovery seminar going on currently. And a few weeks ago, I felt the need to challenge those that are coming to in the reading assignment. But the Lord had impressed me to join them in that reading for the week. And so I added up the total number of the pages and divided them by each day, so that everyone could kind of have a visual picture of what it will look like if we strove to get those number of pages done each day. Now, I know for me personally, in and of itself, it's not a lot, and yet depending on how people read, it can be a lot. But because the Lord was calling me to do it with them, I had to figure out how am I going to get this done with, again, my schedule already. The only thing that I could see was that it meant getting up even earlier, so that my personal time was not compromised with the Lord. And then there was for the most part, really not any other time during the day unless there were cancellations here and there. But what the Lord showed me out of that experience, because that's exactly what had to happen, I had to get up earlier. In order to get up earlier and be able to really function during the week, that meant I needed to get to bed earlier. And so there were a number of things that came out of that experience that were a real blessing to me personally. And all week long, I was saying, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. I was saying that all week long. And the Lord blessed me to be able to get it done. But as I look back at it, the what came out of it was, in order to accomplish that which was important, it meant making, prioritizing other things. And so certain things came together that I didn't expect to get out of the experience as a result of trying to accomplish one thing. And so priority, determining what's really a priority to me, I think is very key. People are priorities to me. And so sometimes even just trying to get phone calls in to people, which I have certain people that I call on a rotation basis, and sometimes just trying to get those in, and it may seem like, oh, you know, that's something that's enjoy, you know, you enjoy doing. In and of itself, I could never talk on the phone and I'd be fine, but I know that it's important to connect with people in different ways, so making priorities, making it a priority to do those things, I find is important, but how to do it and maintain that connection with the Lord.
Okay. Thank you.
I have for many years been challenged by every program I've ever been to that any church has ever been, because one of the top things they tell you is we need to learn to use the New Start program, good nutrition, exercise, and that was always a wall for me. One of the things that I chose to do this year was to add exercise, and I don't know how many of you have any exercise equipment. Now, we did not hang clothes on ours because it's not in the bedroom, so we couldn't hang clothes on it. But I kept looking at this thinking, you know, I just need to start. I just need to start. We had gotten a treadmill, and the day that your friend came that had broken both of his ankles, and I saw the lift he had on one of his feet, I remember that night because someone had called me, and we had gone for a walk that evening before the meeting. So I had gotten a start, and I remember praying that night and said, Lord, if you want me to walk in the morning, I want you to wake me up. half an hour earlier. And I began to walk that morning, and I kept it up very faithfully for almost 2 months, 3 months. And then a trip to New York, kind of, it was hard to get back into it. And I'm working on getting back, because I do better sometimes, I do less sometimes. But one of the things that helped me was to add that time first in the morning, because I'm moving, I'm waking up, I wake up much faster when I walk. I feel better when I walk, but and this is not a advertisement, and yet it is my experience with electronics. I have a hard time, I don't like to just walk. It's very boring to me to just walk on a treadmill or run, but that's not happening and probably won't for a long time. But having this electronic, the electronic things, that the print is big enough, I got an iPad, I had, and before that I had a Nook, that the print is big enough I can read. Pages do not flip, books do not fall off, it stays put. And I have been able to keep up with my Sabbath school extra reading for the junior program through Patriarchs and Prophets, and that's when I get it read, because I wouldn't get it read if I didn't. So that was something I did, was adding exercise to my program and putting a book that would stay put on it that I could read. And that began my study, and then I could take a shower and finish my study, and then I have that half hour that either I talk to Steve on the way or I pray on the way in the car, because it's a half hour drive for me too. So taking advantage of all those moments helps me. That's what helped me this year, was to add exercise.
Okay, so we're getting a couple of things. Multitasking seems to be a common one. Multitasking, doing double duty when you can, look for those opportunities. And then, as Veronica said, making a priority, which we've talked about before, but appreciate that, bring that back up, back into focus. Anyone else have something that you're doing that helps you in your busy schedule fit it in besides multitasking, or maybe a unique multitasking?
Well, I think the health laws that we have, the CHIP program, you know, what they say, like, don't eat a bunch of supper, or don't eat any supper, you know. I slipped, like last summer, I kind of slipped back into eating lunch and supper instead of breakfast and lunch. And so I noticed I wasn't getting up as early. I just barely got up in time to have a short prayer and a little bit of devotions, and then I'm off to work, you know, because I just couldn't get myself out of bed. And so that's what I've noticed, that as we take advantage of the things we know, you know, like I said, don't eat a lot of supper, don't eat any supper, it's best. And so that, then you get to sleep earlier, then you get up earlier, you sleep better, and everything else goes well the rest of the day if you start your day the day before, you know. So that's what's...
Okay, good. So paying attention to the impact of your health, your lifestyle decisions, that's very, very important part of it. Anyone else have? We need to wrap it up, but I want anyone else that has something besides lifestyle impact or multitasking. Yes. Last one.
I don't know if it's my generation or not, but it's the smartphones. You can get the E.G. White catalog, the Bible, Sabbath School, all free. And, you know, we're told to improve every opportunity. And for me, there's no easier way than to, while I'm waiting in line or waiting to do anything, to just look at, not while you're driving. That's bad.
Yes, not while you're driving. Not while you're driving.
That's not good multitasking. But while you're, you know, sitting in your car or whatever, you know, waiting for it to warm up, you have that time. You can look, you know, look at your Bible, look at those things. And I find that really helps me. You know, I can get in. You know, and you can carry books too if you're not a technology person, carry a small Bible. But
good. Thank you. Well, thank you for those who shared. I know there are others of you who have other solutions but just are a little scared of this blue tape device. So if you would be so kind as to maybe email me if you have other practical things that you do to help fit and make sure that God has a central place in how you spend your day and connecting with Him. And you can text them to whatever, and I will glean from those and make them available. Maybe in one of our infolks has put those in as suggestions. So be encouraging one another. Understand that is one of the greatest challenges most commonly experienced in this congregation, and probably in many congregations, is the demand of life on our time, and that your fellow believers need your encouragement and need your prayer support, that in life's busyness, they would make time to connect and know how to make that time. Because after all, didn't Jesus tell us in Luke 21 that one of the final complexities or final reasons people will be lost is because of being too busy? In fact, one of the issues in the seed parable of the seeds growing, there were thorns, but there were also cares of this life. So that's a very real threat to our spiritual, our eternal life is threatened by these busy schedules. So how do you deal with it? If you have something that hasn't been shared this morning, share them with me and I'll pass that along as I can. Eliezer, short. I'll give you the benefit of the microphone. Just because you're last doesn't mean you can't use it. And he's turned on too. It's on. Turn it to power.
Okay, I won't take long, but I wanted to emphasize on the technology which Jordan just brought in, having those books. I have different Bible studies which are going on Skype, WebEx, and GoToWebinar, and those I find that with the books which I have from Ellen G. White on my cell phone, wherever I am, I can listen to them and be able to prepare my lessons, which I have on an international basis. We have 4 days a week, and locally, I've found a group of families which are joining Bible study at night at 8:30, which if you want to join or if you have friends to join, there we use English. So I found it very, very easy to use them because everybody remains in his home, but he can share with you what he thinks about scriptures and discuss. Yeah, it takes a lot of time, but I think we need to accept to sacrifice time as Jesus sacrificed his life for us.
Okay, so social media, using that for, can be a valuable asset to connecting socially on spiritual things. So, and talk to Eliezer if you want to join the Bible study. I don't have the information, but Eliezer does. Well, let's sing our closing hymn, and then we'll close with prayer together. Our closing hymn is Fill My Cup, Lord, and it'll be on the screen, but it's also, if you want to use your hymnals, also page 492.